7 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Busy day on the program. Get you ready for Avs Dallas Stars tonight, game two. Connor McGahee is going to join us. I need to double check my... I believe he's at 9:20 this morning. Double check
that. That's what I've heard.
Connor felt bad. He's like, we didn't have you on yesterday because he didn't respond back. We always text him because he's a busy guy. He's like, he says, doing three jobs this round. So we have to ask him, what other duties has he picked up?
I'm guessing he's probably doing stuff for TV as well.
Probably. So.
Because it looked like.
I'm assuming
Riker,
that's the case.
Riker and Keith and all those were in studio the other night.
So perhaps you're doing some additional work.
Yeah.
For the pregame, maybe.
Hanging out with Katie Goss.
Yeah. So we'll talk with Connor, though. He will have the call tonight, by the way. And 9:20 for Connor McGahee today. Pregame at 7 tonight for the Avalanche and Dallas Stars game 2. Of that series of the Avs leading 1-0. Jamal Murray yesterday speaking with the media, which is something he didn't do after the loss the other night. Yeah.
Did you get a chance to listen to it before the show?
I have not.
All right. You're going to love
I'm going to listen to it completely. Going to listen to it live.
Yep. It's okay.
I'm just reading just a little bit of the article here. Ooh, when you use the phrase, it is what it is.
Oh.
That's never good.
It's much worse than that.
It is what it is? I take full responsibility, so on to the next.
Except he really didn't.
So we'll leave it there. Because I had not had a chance. I was doing some other stuff. But that tells me a lot right there.
Yep.
It is what it is.
Oh, yeah. It's worse than
that. I acted like
either.
A damn fool, but it is what it is.
Oh, he does. Yeah, he doesn't say that first part.
But the damn fool part?
Yeah, he doesn't say that.
No, he doesn't say that at all. I cannot imagine that.
The best part is when somebody asks him if he did or there was a chance to apologize. His answer to that is
priceless.
Yeah, that's a word for it.
Classic.
Yep.
Oh man. And we got a cut from Michael Malone, who I did get a chance to listen to. Mm-hmm. He said that he's in all the years he's coached, particularly the time he's been the Denver Nuggets head coach, he's never seen the body language, the demeanor be as bad as it was in game 2 at any stage. We started pulling apart. We didn't pull together when we needed to pull together.
There are a lot of quit in that team.
Ton of quit. And he said he showed him things like 9 plays that were kind of defining moments of the game.
Yeah.
And he said, our guys are saying all the right things. I hope they truly believe that. And I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. That's not good. when you don't, we had a good practice. They're saying the right things, but I don't. Basically, he's telling you, I don't know if I believe that to be true.
They say they believe in themselves. We'll find out Friday night. That's not good.
And it's sad that we lead with this because Nikola Jokic is once again the MVP of the NBA. He's the MVP again.
Yeah.
He joined some very historic company with winning his third MVP in 4 years. 9 other guys. He's now one of 9 guys to win at least 3. Kareem, Michael, Bill. And they're all like first name guys.
Yeah.
LeBron, Wilt, Moses, Larry, and Magic. And it comes on the heels of an absolutely dreadful performance by the Nuggets. Or Nikola wasn't MVP caliber in game two.
Luckily, they had already voted. Or else Kendrick Perkins would find a way for this to not be an MVP caliber.
Oh, wait. I'm waiting for the additional big Perk comments about it.
Everybody's racist.
Yeah. Beat out Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Luka Doncic, by the way, for the award. So if you're just wondering who was also in the running for it. Which is sad, because that's the thing we should be talking about first and foremost. But it's not, because it's a big, ugly cloud, a dark cloud that hangs over this team.
And it's all on Jamal Murray. Say what you want about the team. That's easier to be like, you know what? Yeah, it wasn't great, but blah, 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 blah. Yeah, hey, Joker's MVP.
Yeah.
But Jamal Murray is really... He extended the problem by trying to move past the problem.
Yeah, 106-80 is ugly. Down two games to none's ugly. Those aren't good things, but at least if Murray doesn't behave the way Murray did, you go, okay, let's hope they can regroup. But hey, still, let's celebrate Nikola Jokic. This is a great accomplishment. Hey, this may not go the Nuggets' way this postseason,
right?
But what another incredible season for Nikola Jokic. But no, you got to talk about the childish, ridiculous behavior of Jamal Murray. And then... And there was an opportunity for him to say, look, I lost it. People lose, and I lost it. I acted like a damn fool. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry that I behaved the way I did.
He had three cracks at it. The first question, the second question where he doubled down, and the third question where he tripled down, and just decided not to address it.
When I say it is what it is, I take full responsibility. That's not an apology. I take full responsibility. What does that mean? It's not an apology. It's, yeah, I did that. So what? Is kind of my take
on it. And when you hear the tone, it's worse.
I know the Jamal Murray tone because I've watched plenty of Jamal Murray press conferences. Oh, yeah. When things have gone well.
Yep.
When they've won a game and he's played well, there are times the tone is that red-assy tone that he has.
Yeah. This is not a good look for Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just a terrible look.
So, anyway, we'll dive more into that coming up. Also, Avs and the Stars, game two. Team that does not have to deal with guys throwing crap on the ice or making idiots out of themselves. All right, 7:08, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. So it's a busy show. Coming up this morning, talk with Connor McGahee. We'll also have Mike Tolan and Chris Nabishu in from the Grand Junction Jackalopes that they have their meet and greet at Bananas Fun Park coming up on Sunday. They've also reduced ticket prices as well for the Jackalopes games this season. So we'll talk with Mike Tolan, who's now officially the owner of the Grand Junction Jackalopes. So look forward to having them in the studio, I believe, 9 o'clock this morning for that. So a busy, busy morning. Also, the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is coming up after a while as well. And Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia will have that for you. So I guess I hate to go with the negative here.
Yeah, but
you have to. Your reaction to what Jamal Murray said, if you had a chance to listen to him or read any of his comments.
Do you want the Jamal Murray piece, or do you want to save it? It's 30 seconds.
Well, we're going to bring it back half of the hour. So we'll
save it.
We'll run some repeats. Okay. So we can help.
Let's do it. Okay, here it is.
Jamal, did you expect any punishment from the league office? Was it fair?
No, I mean, it is what it is, and I take everything full responsibility, so on to the next.
Was it just your frustration boiled over? Is that what happened?
Yeah, on to the next. I mean, there's not much, 2 days ago, not much more to say about it right now.
Were there any conversations that you had with people or anything just to kind of, like, apologize or whatever, maybe?
Do you have any basketball questions? No.
Wow.
What a tool.
Oh. Oh, I want to like this guy. I do. He plays for my basketball team that I cheer for. And I like him as a player. But man.
What a tool.
That Michael Porter Jr., when Michael Porter Jr. was being the resident idiot in the village, is going, damn, dude, I said some stupid stuff, but geez.
Yeah.
His were more opinions that were certainly not reflected by most people. This is your behavior, and you just going, not going to talk about it.
Right.
It is what it is. I did it. So
just 2 days ago, what do you want me to say? I don't know. The words I'm sorry come to mind.
I'm sorry. And I acted like an idiot.
Like I was kind of a jerk.
You know, and I don't want to get into this whole thing of the role model, pro athlete role model.
Oh, no.
You know, the whole, you know, like Charles Barkley, I think, put it very eloquently so many years ago. You know, if I'm your kid's role model, then there's a problem. I'm paraphrasing. Parents need to be a kid's role model.
I agree.
Not an athlete. But come on, man. There is also just decent human behavior. And sometimes our star doesn't shine brightly. Sometimes we have days we just act like absolute jerks. We try not to, but we do sometimes. It happens.
But man, what a tool.
And when you do, you need to realize that and do something about it to say, I'm sorry. I lost it.
What an absolute jackwagon.
And I'm sorry that our fans had to see me behave that way. I'm sorry to Mark Davis. I apologize to him. I'm sorry to the guys who are on the floor from Minnesota and my own guys that could have potentially got hurt by me chucking stuff on the floor. I'm sorry I acted like a 3-year-old. I'm sorry I acted like a damn fool. Oh. And it's on the same day Nikola Jokic wins the MVP.
You know what?
Jeez.
You know what his kind of take reminds me of?
Now, at the risk of being unpopular, this reporter places the blame for all of this squarely on you.
Exactly. Well, if Mark Davis would have given me some calls, if, you know.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
I mean, the situation made me react that way.
Was there any conversations where you had the chance? No.
No, because I wasn't going to.
Yeah.
Because I had no intention.
You're not
going
to ask me basketball questions?
Well, we're going to get through this first, Jamal.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty big freaking story, whether you like it to be or not.
You think the PR person for the Nuggets was just like, screw it, I quit.
I'm taking
the day off.
I would just say, you know what? We have an intern. Intern want to sit here and babysit him? Because I'm not going to do this.
Where's Droz? Droz is in the front office. Have him do it.
Yeah.
Or he's in the ticket office, I guess. Yeah. Not front office.
It's like, well, wow, he got
promoted.
He got a big promotion. Yeah.
Hey, for hair plugs.
Did he get hair plugs?
No. That's just me poking fun at him when he doesn't work here.
Wow. That's a shock.
He jokes himself about being bald, so I help him out.
I know. He even started to do that when he was when he was here. All right. So
that was rude. I'm sorry. Wow. See, Jamal, it's that easy.
Just I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably should not have listened to that.
You should not have listened to that Jamal Murray clip. It's rubbing off on you. It's totally rubbing off on you.
It was 30 seconds ago. What do you want me to do about it now?
Do you have any radio questions? Yeah. Do you have any questions about the Avalanche tonight? Show questions today. Moving on.
We're on to the next. We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to throwing a water bottle on the floor in Minnesota.
We're going to chuck stuff that can fly farther next time. Isn't he Canadian? Isn't he supposed to be nice?
Yes, he's Canadian.
Just blow that stereotype out of the water.
Like Kitchener? I think he's from Kitchener. Yeah. Jamal Murray's kaboom! Yeah. Blew up the Canadians are always nice people. Hey, sorry about that, eh?
Sorry,
eh?
I'm not your buddy, guy.
Oh. And Nikola Jokic won the MVP yesterday,
by the way. For the third time in 4 years.
Just the ninth guy to win it three times.
And I love internet reactions. Like, ugh, he's now in the same league as Michael Jordan. Well, he's been in the same league since he was drafted because it's the NBA.
Because it's the league. They all play in the same league.
Second of all, he's different than Michael Jordan. He's nice to people.
Yes, he is.
You know, so there's that. He signs autographs for kids.
Yeah, he's not a jerk. He's a likable human being. Though Mike was very likable in Space Jam, though. It was like his moment where he was likable.
Yeah.
It was okay.
That's okay.
Come on, he's hanging out with Bugs Bunny. I mean, it's going to immediately make him more likable.
As they say in wrestling, he got the rub from Bugs Bunny.
Exactly.
A little bit.
Yeah, what's up,
Doc? Bugs likes this guy. I guess he must be okay. Right.
Must be all right. Yeah. That's despicable. Those are enough Looney Tunes impersonations for one show. Maybe for an entire 5-year period.
Let's go ahead and bag those for a while. I didn't
think the Daffy was that bad. That's despicable. Which is very Lou Holtz-y, by the way.
That's Daffy Holtz.
But it's a little more understandable than when I do Lou Holtz.
A little bit.
All right, 7:16. It's time for What's Happening.
What's Happening?
All right, brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. They support and secure your business technology consistently and professionally. As your technology partner, ComWest maximizes your investment and ensures your office technology is working efficiently. So you can focus on growing your business and not worrying about why your business phone system isn't working and you're not getting customers through and dealing with IT problems. And they have IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone system, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, and backup and disaster recovery. They service the entire Western Slope. Let them help you make your business grow. Call them at 970-242-8142 or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, lead things off with Nikola Jokic. We'll stay with the positive here.
Yeah,
and what's happening. All right, for the third time in 4 years, Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic is the NBA's most valuable player. The MVP for Joker comes at a slightly awkward time as the Nuggets are currently down 0-2 in their playoff series with Minnesota. Still, Joker beat out Oklahoma City Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Dallas's Luka Doncic. Joker thanked his teammates, coaches, and the organization and his family. He says being able to get the news with his family in the room made it very special.
It's nice, you know, it's a special moment. Probably I'm going to remember. Was the name the whole life. So it's, I like to say, the legacy for after career.
Jokic is the first center in decades to win the MVP three times in four seasons. Is the ninth player to win at least three, joining Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, Bill Russell, LeBron James, Wilt Chamberlain, Moses Malone, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson. Nuggets and Timberwolves, of course, coming up tomorrow night on the Team Sports Network. And after celebrating Jokic winning his MVP, Nuggets' focus is on trying to recover after that embarrassing Game 2 loss at home to Minnesota. Denver coach Mike Malone says they had a brutally honest film session after their 106-80 loss to the T-Wolves.
Showed 9 clips that kind of encapsulated that game and why we lost. And our players owned it. And my greatest challenge to them, and I don't have an answer for whoever's going to ask me, do these guys believe? I don't know. They all say they do. But we will all find out collectively come Friday night.
Game 3 is tomorrow night on the Team Sports Network pregame at 7 o'clock. After rallying with 4 straight goals to win 4-3 in overtime in Game 1, the Colorado Avalanche look to grab a 2-0 lead in their series, and they play at Dallas tonight. Avs coach Jared Bednar says they have some things to clean up before Game 2 this evening.
Well, our forecheck's got to be better, and we got caught underneath the puck a number of times and gave up some odd man rushes. I thought our D did a nice job handling those odd man rushes and limiting their scoring chances, but too many dangerous situations for my liking.
Catch the Avs and Stars on the team tonight. Pregame at 7. In other news, Avs star winger Nathan MacKinnon is a finalist for the Ted Lindsay Award. It's presented to the league's most outstanding players as voted by his peers. MacKinnon's also a finalist for the Hart Trophy, which goes to the league's top players voted on by the Hockey Writers. Colorado Rockies now officially have the worst record in baseball after losing 8-6 to San Francisco Wednesday night at Coors Field. Colorado falls to 8-20. You're cheering over there.
Yay! Hey, all right.
Oh. Colorado falls to 8-28 after the loss despite good nights at the plate from Charlie Blackmon, Jordan Beck, and Sean Bouchard. Blackmon went 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs and moves into a tie with former Rocky Nolan Arenado for 4th in franchise RBIs. The rookie Beck had a double and a single with Bouchard going 3-for-4 with a double. Colorado faces the Giants again this afternoon at Coors Field. Colorado Mesa baseball team was able to take game one of the RMAC tournament over CSU Pueblo with a final of 5-3 yesterday. Maverick starting pitcher Caleb Reuter was able to pick up the win, handing out 8 strikeouts through 5 2/3. Ethan Voss collected the save with 5 strikeouts and 5 3 1/3, and he says it was preparation allowed him to get the job done yesterday.
My preparation, I've prepared for this moment for my whole life, I think, and I worked really hard this year, and I just think it comes down to my preparation and how hard I worked, and just knowing that I have the better stuff than those hitters and I can beat them any day I want.
Mavs will face Adams State at 3 o'clock today. I'll have that game along with Donnie Alexander, pregame at 2:45 on the Team CMU Sports Network presented by Ken Richards State Farm. Win or lose, the Mavericks will play at 11 o'clock tomorrow at the Diamond of the Bergman Sports Complex. The season's over for the Mountain League champion Grand Junction girls lacrosse team. The Tigers lost to Denver South 16-13 Wednesday in the 4A playoffs at Community Hospital Unity Field. Grand Junction's Mike and Neville scored 6 goals, with Maddie DeGeorge adding 3 goals. Tigers finished the season with a 10-6 record. The Fruit of Monument girls soccer team saw their season into the first round of the 5A playoffs. The Wildcats fell at Thunder Ridge 10-0 Wednesday as they end the season at 5-9-1. South Washington League champion Montrose is moving on in the 4A girls soccer postseason. The Red Hawks shut out Eagle Valley 3-0. Will host Devlin this Saturday. Palisade lost their playoff game in a 4-0 shutout to Mullen. Bulldogs finished 11-4-1 and won the Western Slope League title for the second straight year. And the Colorado Mesa cycling team is once again a national champion. The Mavericks won their 4th straight national title at last weekend's USA Collegiate Road Cycling Championships in New Mexico. With CMU winning the road cycling title, they clinched the overall Omnium title. The Omnium title includes road cycling, mountain biking, cyclocross, BMX, and track. And that's a look at what's happening.
What's happening?
All right, 7:22. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. And, of course, what's happening brought to you by ComWest. If you need IT help today for your business, call ComWest 970-242-8142. We will take a break. And on the other side of the break, get you ready for Avs-Dallas Stars Game 2 of the Western Conference semifinals tonight here on the team. That's on the way. Reaction to Jamal Murray basically saying, well, it is what it is.
Yeah, not my fault.
Got to move on.
I didn't do anything.
I take full responsibility, but I'm not really sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I threw it. That's essentially what he's saying.
So we all so this. What? What did we're gonna dwell on this thing that happened the other night?
Not here to talk about the past.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark McGuire.
Yeah. Pretty much it.
7:22. Text or call us on the team line today. We'd love to hear from you. 970-242-1340.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 7:26. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today. All right, so game two tonight, Avalanche Stars in Dallas. Colorado coming off the 4-3 overtime win. Miles Wood scoring the game winner on Tuesday night. And Avs down, they were down 3-0 in that game.
Yeah,
and scored,
like 16 minutes in.
Scored four unanswered goals to win the game. And you're thinking, okay, Avs are down 3-0. Here we go. It's like Winnipeg, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. It's...
When does it stop?
Well, yeah, and is Alexander Georgiev not capable of being the guy they can count on? And in fairness to Georgie, it felt different in the Dallas game, though, in terms of just some bad breaks, and he also didn't give up 7 goals either.
Right. He wasn't as hung out to dry by his defense. Like they were doing a good job of kind of clearing guys out of the middle, with the exception of the third goal. Guys were getting kind of moved out of their spot, but they had a couple of really nice tip-ins. Like, just throw the puck at the net somewhere, and some very good hand-eye coordination. And the second one, which was right off the face-off, you got a nice little dish, and the guy's kind of wide open, and a shot that gets deflected. All three shots were deflected at some point, and that's just at some point those can't all be on the goaltender.
Right, and like Josh Manson, we talked about it. He blocked a shot or knocked a shot away.
Yeah.
They could have made it 4-0, and he had three blocked shots in that game.
And he was fantastic in that role.
And look, the Avalanche, they got to limit their pushes offensively. Those occasional odd man rushes, mm-hmm. things like that. That's an area that's got to improve in game two. But Jared Bednar, Avs coach, was asked about Georgie. And I think the question was supposed to be about, were you concerned or was he concerned after how he played in game one against Winnipeg about how things started out in game one of this series? They were down 3-0. I'll just let Jared Bednar respond to about where he's at with his goaltender, Alexander Georgiev.
Well, it's huge. I've already kind of touched on this. Like, the biggest hurdle was 1-2 in Winnipeg. And then he kind of found his groove, and now he's stayed focused. He understands what he needs to do, and he's kind of kept that going now in Series 2. That challenge from going from Series 1 to Series 2 is no different than any other player on our team. Some guys handled it better than others. Like, we had some players we really liked last night. We had some that we didn't like. I think that there's room for growth in our team from our game from last night. But I think Georgie, especially after settling down again after the first period, that takes some resilience and some mental toughness, and he was able to do that along with the rest of our team. But I don't think Gorgie's thinking we'll game one Winnipeg anymore. That's long gone.
All right. So
I hope so.
I would hope so too. I would hope that would be the case.
I'd hope that he's more buoyed by the fact that he gave up 8 goals in the next 4 games coming into game one. Then 7 goals in the first game.
Right there, just basic math.
Yeah. I mean, you take away, if the first game is the average of the second game, the Avs win that game 6-2. And they sweep Nashville. Or not Nashville, Winnipeg. I don't know where I got Nashville.
That's okay.
But, you know, so yeah, he allowed, and then he allowed 3 goals. So what, that's 18 goals in 6 games at the 3 goals against average. This team should be able... It's like the Rockies with the ERA. If it's under 6, you should be all right with the way your team should be able to hit at home. For the Avalanche, if Georgiev is allowing 3 goals per game, they should be all right with the offense they possess. You'd like less goals allowed.
Sure.
But if it's 3 a night, I'm okay with that because these are all playoff teams. These are all really good teams in some structure. It's going to happen.
And they've been able to do this against, as we mentioned before, two of the best defensive teams in the NHL.
Yeah.
In Winnipeg and Dallas. And so, Andrew Cogliano, he was available for the media yesterday as well, expressing his thoughts on what the Avs have to do in game two.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, we talked about a few things today that we needed to do better. Just things that we needed to clean up. You know, their strengths of their game, or I think we're still evident last night that we need to make sure that we, like I said, shore up for tomorrow to give us a better chance. I thought overall our game throughout the game was a good game. I thought we got better as the game went on. I thought our forecheck got going and we played the way we wanted to play. But, you know, they're going to be desperate in terms of, you know, getting a win on home ice for themselves. So we're going to have to, like I said today, go over what we did, what we saw, and what, you know, their game plan is, and hopefully, you know, get better at kind of neutralizing that.
And so for the Avalanche, a chance to grab a 2-0 lead tonight. Okay, say they don't win tonight. It's 1-1. They'll go back home to Ball Arena, or they're 31-9-1 this season. Best record.
That's not bad.
Best home record in the National Hockey League.
I like their chances to win the occasional hockey game at home.
I'm saying, I'm with you on that. I like their chances to win tonight. I think if you're Dallas, we'll see what the mental state of the Dallas Stars is.
Mm-hmm.
Of Tanev and that group and Duchesne and company of. They were up 3-0 on home ice And you can say, well, yeah, we played 7-game series against Vegas. We were tired. We've had now an extra day of rest. That's going to help. And you can try to rationalize yourself. Hey, we did have a 3-0 lead on them. And if we play a little bit better, you know, the situation, we could be up 1-0. But then there's also that thing creeps into your mind of, if you're Dallas, of we were up 3-0 and we couldn't close it out.
It's like, dang, we took a pretty big swing there and we came up empty.
We couldn't close out that game.
I think Dallas is a mentally tougher team, though, than Winnipeg.
I agree.
It's a
more experienced hockey team with more vets built to be in this situation.
And I don't want to say that they're just going to rely on excuses, but there's some pretty damn good excuses. Like, there's an MVP finalist on the other team who is not Mikko Rantanen, who's huge and a big-time player and just a big player, and Val Nichushkin, and the guy on the cover of the hockey game for PS5, that's Cale Makar, and a goaltender who's hot. All those things, they're like, man, they needed overtime to beat us. It's like they have 2 of the 10 best players in the world and all these other guys, and we were able to get to them early, and it's really only because of their superior talent that they had to, that they got us to overtime and were able to beat us in overtime. If I'm Dallas, some of those things are things I could use. Like, we can match up with them. We can out-grit the Avs. I think they still can. I think there are teams that can out-grit them. And Dallas is a team that's built for that. But I still say I like the matchup with the Avs or the Stars better than I would have with the Golden Knights.
I agree. I mean, Avs had a winning record against them this season.
Mm-hmm. And they just won in Dallas.
And they just won last, you know, the other night. You know, we'll see how Oettinger bounces back after giving up 4 consecutive goals. But there are 2 teams with Dallas GM Jim Nill, who won the Jim Gregory GM of the Year honor previously. Of course, you had Joe Sakic, who's won it as well for GM of the Year. And now it's Chris McFarland who's running the show. Both these teams have made really savvy moves. And when they haven't made a good move, like Ryan Johansson, been quick to go, not working.
Cut bait.
Let's cut bait. Let's not hang on to this player. We know it's not working. And the Avs made a smart move to realize, hey, we took a swing at it and we missed on this one.
And I think that's a mark of somebody that is secure and confident enough in their ability to find the right guy that they can admit that they didn't get the right guy.
Very true. Because sometimes that's as much as making the savvy trade. Mm-hmm. And it's when you think you did and you didn't, and you just go, okay, we've got to move on here. This is
right.
I get it that we gave up these assets, whatever, to get this player.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's the difference between bouncing Ryan Johansson after 2.5 months than keeping Ian Desmond for 3 years.
It's John Lynch.
Not to name any names.
John Lynch making the move to get Trey Lance, trading up to get him, realizing it wasn't working, that they had a better quarterback with Mr. Irrelevant in Brock Purdy, and going, we got to move on here.
Yeah.
And cutting bait and moving on. That sometimes you just have to do that. And these are 2... you know, GMs that have, and Chris McFarland learning at the feet of Joe Sakic, and Joe still having plenty of input on what Chris McFarland does. That's why these 2 teams are where they're at right now.
It's hard. It's hard for a grown-up to be like, yeah, I screwed that up.
Yeah, because our first inclination is,
I didn't do anything wrong.
I got to prove myself right on this.
Yeah. Our default nature is Jamal Murray. I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I made the trade. Guy was a great player.
Yeah.
He just sucks.
Like I'm brilliant. He's sucking.
What am I supposed to do about that?
You know.
I brought him in here.
Yeah.
And you have to realize that you were the one that made that move, though. That move's not working. And what can you do to mitigate the damage and to fix things on the fly? And the Avalanche, give him credit. I mean, the moves that Chris McFarland made at the trade deadline, Trennan, Mittelstadt, yeah. Walker.
Mittelstadt's been huge.
Mittelstadt's been big in this series. Or been big in the postseason.
Playoffs, yeah.
not in the series specifically, but in the playoffs. He's been great. And other players they brought in, like Miles Wood, has paid up. Zach Parise, that's a big guy out of the dumpster acquisition that has paid off nicely in this playoff.
Yeah, he helped both teams score in game one, though. Other than that, he's been really good.
But in the Winnipeg series, he was really good.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah. In the totality of the playoffs.
And it wasn't like he OG'd an own goal himself. He was kind of in the wrong spot.
Wrong place, wrong time. All right, so Avs and, of course, Dallas Stars coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on the Team Sports Network. We'll talk with Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche at 9:20 this morning. All right, it is time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, this comes to us from the Kelce brothers' New Heights live taping at the University of Cincinnati. They did a couple months back. They had Joe Burrow and former Chief current Bengal Orlando Brown Jr. on the dais with them for a little bit, and they were talking to young Mr. Macaulay Culkin lookalike about his love and appreciation for taunting. Yes, Joe Burrow loves taunting.
He does.
You're also pro-taunting.
I am pro-taunting, yeah.
So am I. Why are you pro-taunting?
We're all grown adults that work really hard. Sometimes we like to show it. I'm not going to get my feelings hurt if somebody sacks me and taunts me like, you made a play, I didn't. Like, good for you. You're allowed to taunt.
Have you ever gotten a taunting flag?
I've never got a taunting flag.
No?
How many you got?
You can get a little feisty out there.
Just a wee bit.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my favorite taunting penalties that I got. Yes, I do have favorites. My first time playing actually on the field against the Eagles in Kansas City.
In KC. 2016. We did lose that game.
Yes, that was the last game you guys lost that year. Sure enough, it's a low-scoring game. We could have moved the ball too well on them. Smitty handed that thing off to Kareem Hunt, and it was me and Brandon Graham talking the entire
BG
game.
BG talks major.
He got a little windy. You know, they come in like hockey subs on the defensive line.
Yeah, it's some bullshit.
And sure enough, he went off for a play. I hemmed up the D lineman that came in for him on one back power, which if you guys don't believe I can block, I blocked on
the
play.
I was going to say, you were blocking?
I was, and I did my job. I felt so good that I thought I'd run over to the sideline and tell Brandon Graham to bring his ass back out here.
What happened?
Well, I got a flag for going to the sideline and talking to the sideline. You can't do that, kids. And then Brandon Graham continued to throw me around for the rest of the game.
Got one block on him.
I got the backup. Come on back out here, big boy.
Come on, you want another piece of this?
It's like, all right.
Oh.
I love it.
740.
I love pro taunting. I love Joe Burrow with the subtle taunt. You were blocking?
Yeah, really? You like do that?
Yeah.
That's something that you do?
Yeah. Did it as a rookie. Doesn't do that now.
No.
He's too valuable now.
Not very often, no. Yeah. Occasionally.
Like, we don't need you to dislocate your fingers blocking a Von Miller or something. You catch passes, pretty boy.
Maybe just, maybe bump him a little bit on the way. Chip him a little bit. Chip him.
Give him a little shoulder. A little shoulder. As you're out running a 10-yard out.
Yeah, just a little quick shoulder to slow him up for like half a second. All right, 7:41. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll bring him back, the Jamal Murray comment. About the throwing the heat compress and the towel on the floor in game two. It's just, anyway, we'll have that. Here's the thing, too. And for those that haven't heard it yet, and like I said, we'll play in a moment. Does this affect how you feel about Jamal Murray? Because I've always been with Jamal Murray. Because we watch press conferences, we get taped for this show, and so we watch it, and so you get a pretty good baseline of how a guy is. And while Nikola Jokic sometimes seems disinterested in press conferences, he's never a jerk. He might make fun of somebody or give somebody some grief, but he's never a jerk.
Right.
He may seem disinterested. He may seem like he doesn't want to be there, but he's never rude to anybody or unwilling to answer a question.
I was surprised. He said it was nice to win the MVP in front of his family, but zero horses were in that.
There were no horses. No, his actual human, his human surprised. Family.
His not favorite kids were back in the stable.
The horses were not there. But then Jamal Murray, every press conference, there's even, like I said before, even when he plays well, they win, there'll be a moment of questions asked that he'll just be kind of a red ass about it. And he always, at least I always wanted to defend him. Well, he's a competitive guy, super competitive guy. And it's just, you know, he's just that, he's just wired that way. And he's just kind of a bit of a crusty personality. Yeah. And this is beyond that.
But it's exhausting.
It is.
Trying to jump through those hoops for Jamal Murray. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, he's a competitor. Yeah, he's still a tool. Oh, he's just, you know, he's really focused. Yeah, he's kind of a tool.
He's still like, not great in dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And addressing his own behavior.
Right. These other people have a job to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is how you treat people on camera.
What do you like off?
Yeah.
All right, 7:43. We will take a break. We'll come back, talk some Nuggets. Jamal Murray's reaction. After he's finally commented on what happened in game two. That's coming up next. Text or call us on the team line. I'm just curious, does it impact how you feel about him? Does this change how you feel about him, Buckeye? Before I take the break here.
Yeah, a little.
Has an impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
Not
in a good way.
I still want to root for the Nuggets. I want to root for him to do well. It makes me harder to root for him as a person.
Yeah.
When something like this happens. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more. Text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340.
They're a lot of fun.
Oh. The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
What? On Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Quick reminder, today on the team we'll have RMAC Tournament Baseball. Mavericks square off against Adams State, who they played to wrap up the regular season, and 11 billion runs were scored in that game. I get a feeling that's not probably going to be the case today. Oh, I could be wrong. Certainly sounded like the windy conditions in Alamosa exacerbated that a little bit. I'm talking with Chris Hanks the other day.
Yeah. Lack of gravity was a big problem, too, down there, apparently. Ball would just never come to the earth.
But they have, like, some zero-gravity
field. Anti-gravity field is where they play.
I didn't realize that we had that kind of technology first, and second, why would Adams State be the only one to have it? I'm kind of thinking that would be a technological marvel.
They got into the RMAC tournament. That's one reason.
Because they're a pretty good baseball team. Let's be honest about that. Very good offensive club. Yeah, I don't think they have a humidor at Adams State. But anyway, Mavericks Adams State today on the team. Pregame at 2:45. And then the Avalanche tonight. Avalanche Stars pregame at 7. We'll talk with Connor McGahee at 9:20 this morning. So tomorrow night, it's the Nuggets going to Minnesota to take on the Timberwolves, down 2-0. Quick little note here, by the way. Only 33 teams have rallied to win a series after falling behind 2-0, regardless of home court. So only 5 teams in league history have won a playoff series after losing the first 2 games at home. Clippers did it in 2021. So history working against the Nuggets a little bit as they go into game 3. But we'll see what happens. Nuggets flying out this morning, by the way, to go out to Minnesota. Yesterday, Nikola Jokic found out that he won his 3rd MVP in the last 4 years. Nikola Jokic, bring back the clip from Nikola talking about being able to celebrate. He mentioned, he said, you know, I called family and some of them 45 minutes away, and I didn't know if they wanted to drive all the way here, but they did, and I'm glad.
You imagine you get the blow off because it's your 3rd. Like,
well, it's like you and having, after the first child.
Yeah.
It's a 3rd. It's his 3rd one, Nicole. Do we need to be there? I don't think so.
No need.
No need. But they were there. They came and were at the Nuggets facility when Nikola Jokic found out that he was the MVP for the 3rd time in 4 years.
It's nice. You know, it's a special, moment. Probably I'm going to remember was the name the whole life. So it's, I like to say, the legacy for after career.
What is the name? The whole life. Yes, the whole life. Becomes just the 9th player to win 3 MVPs for Nikola Jokic. So we go from the good to the bad, which was Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray did not talk to the media after the game two loss when Denver lost 106-80 when he also...
Probably for the best with what he came out with yesterday.
Yeah. If this is what a day or two of time and reflection, and if this is the response, then wow, who knows what would have happened right after the game the other night. So Jamal Murray finally talking with reporters about the temper tantrum, the towel and the heat compress that were thrown at referee Mark Davis during the game in game two the other night. Sit back and enjoy Jamal Murray just apologizing all over himself for his behavior.
Jamal, did you expect any punishment from the league office? Was it fair?
No, I mean, it is what it is, and I take everything full responsibility, so on to the next.
Was it just your frustration boiled over? Is that what happened?
Yeah, on to the next. I mean, there's not much, 2 days ago, not much for me to say about it or not.
Yeah, there is.
Were there any conversations that you had with people or anything just to kind of apologize or whatever, maybe take
the question? Do you have any basketball questions? No.
Man, I want to like you and I want to root for you. I really do. He's a hell of a competitor. He's a really good player when he's healthy.
And like
he's instrumental to them winning the NBA title last year.
I don't think some of the Nuggets media is as sycophantic as some of the other Nuggets media. And I don't think they're as soft as some of the Broncos press conferences are and hard questions. They did give him back-to-back-to-back outs to look like a humble player. I think it was Vic Lombardi, the first two, gave him an out. Like, did you expect the punishment? Was it fair?
$100,000 fine, by the way.
Yeah.
For those who don't know.
Jamal Murray had a chance to be like, yeah, you know what? It's fair.
It's fair.
I paid it. It's done.
You know, exactly. They could have suspended me. I'm glad they didn't. I want to be on the floor for this. I'm glad my behavior didn't hurt my basketball team.
And then, again, it's like, well, you know, is it just frustration, boy? Trying to give him an out as to excuse his behavior.
Yeah.
Nothing. Well, it's 2 days ago. What do you want me to say? Well, I'm kind of giving you the answers here to the test, Jamal. This is what I want you to say. And then the third question was, oh, you apologize? You get a chance to talk to anybody? No.
No.
You got any basketball questions? Well, considering you did interrupt a game by throwing stuff on the floor.
Twice.
That is a basketball question.
Your behavior is relevant to this whole thing.
Yeah.
So here's
bad look and then doubling and tripling down on it.
Absolutely. So here's Michael Malone and what they have to do to get out of this funk and get back into the series.
Today's message is simple. We haven't played close to our abilities. And part of that, obviously, Vic, as you know, is giving Minnesota credit. Game two, I was probably more disappointed with the not on the court, off the court, a reaction to the adversity. I'd never seen that in my 9 years.
Looking at you, Jamal, the first time
in the last 6 years of making the playoffs. How as things got tough, we just kind of fell apart and kind of separated. And that's, as we all know, you can't do that. That's when you have to come together, help each other, and support each other. Today was a great practice. Honest film session. It showed 9 clips that kind of encapsulated that game and why we lost. And our players owned it. And my greatest challenge to them, and I don't have an answer for whoever's going to ask me, do these guys believe? I don't know. They all say they do, but we will all find out collectively come Friday night.
Malone did go on to say that they have to help out the ball handlers, help out Jamal more against the pressure of Minnesota. But in regard to Jamal, he said, I've never seen that from Jamal. That was very uncharacteristic for me. I think it was probably a combination of taking a charge and it's not called, a combination of not making shots at the level we know he's capable of making, a combination of us being down 30 points to a team we're trying to beat to get to the Western Conference Finals. When you put all that together and all that boiling pot, man, that's a lot to handle.